chapter 3. I think I'll let you sit in the reading today, and we'll see how that works out. I want us to read chapter 3, verse 1 through 17. I'll read the first, you read the second, we'll read responsively. Try to stay together, and don't try to rush it. Let's just read the Word of God and let it soak in a little bit. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them.
But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all.
Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
Forgiving one another, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another.
And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've been so kind to us.
Amen.
You've blessed us with so many blessings.
Amen.
You've given us great truth and great light. We thank you for it.
Amen.
We thank you for so great a salvation. And that you've sent your invitation out and you've sent us as messengers out to go and tell the whole world they'll repent of their sin, they can come to you and you'll forgive.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We ask you to get your own way in our lives this morning. Give me help to preach that only you can give. Touch every heart and life that's here. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Billy attacked one of the strongest, hardest lessons that you can handle. And a whole lot of us, and he himself will admit, you know, we don't understand. We don't understand all those things. I'm going the absolute opposite direction. I'm going to simplicity. I'm going to little words. You know, people tell me the Bible's hard to understand. Well, you're trying to settle sovereignty and predestination and a whole lot of other things. The Bible might be a little hard to understand. I'm sure I probably told you the joke in the past sometime about the guy that picked up the Bible to read it, and he started reading about the life of Noah and about this big boat that he did, this ark. He called it the ark, and he had this great big boat, which really was just a big barge. It really wasn't a boat. It wasn't sails. Didn't have a motor. All it did was float. And it was at the just the whim of the waves. And he heard about this great big barge taking all these animals and coming up. And then the next day he flipped over and got over there where the Jews were running through the wilderness carrying that ark. Now that's what he saw. There are two different arcs there, you understand? Now, some of those things are maybe hard to be understood, you know. You have to know a little bit about the Bible. You might need to know a little bit about other things like that. But, yes, the Bible has some things like that that are hard to be understood. I've even heard that the King James, the reason why they won't put all the translations on it, it is written in too high an order. Need to be a senior to be able to understand it. It's not true. It's not true. Now, I'm going to read you some words of one of the wisest, sharpest men I've ever come across, the Apostle Paul. Somehow that man had wisdom. God gave it to him, prepared him specially, struck him down on the road of Damascus and made him a preacher and a teacher. He was even caught up, he said, into the third heaven and saw heaven up there. And wow, privilege that no other person got. And really, he describes the church to us. What are you supposed to be like? What are you supposed to be? Is it really all that hard to understand what you're supposed to be like? We just read 17 verses. Now, I didn't go on with the rest of the entire chapter because it's talking about husbands and wives and servants and a whole lot of things like that that were just beyond what I wanted to bring out today. I want you to notice, some of you kids that are still remember what a syllable is, how many one-syllable words are in this chapter that I read to you, that we read together. How many one-syllable? If they're one-syllable words, it's not hard reading. Do you understand? The problem is you don't want to read it.
Amen.
That is the problem.
Amen.
The problem is you don't want it to say to you what it does say. That's the problem. You do understand. You understand enough to, you know, I don't like that. That's not what I like. And yet, bless your hearts. You want to know what the will of God is for you? He makes it so plain. And it's just right here. He says, if you then be risen with Christ. Now, who's he talking to? People that are risen with Christ. You have actually repented of your sins, asked God to forgive you of your sins, and you've started to walk away from some of them and try to live a life for Christ. Maybe you're going to church. Maybe you're reading the Bible. Maybe you're telling others about the good experience you had. I had a wonderful experience. Man, when I got saved, wow, it did change me. And oh, when I first got in the Bible, I didn't understand a whole lot of things too. I was about as bad as that guy trying to carry the ark, you know, thinking they've got this great, big, huge ark and they're carrying it all across that desert. But, you know, after a little while, it doesn't take very long, all of a sudden you figure out that's not it. And then you figure out some things, especially that the New Testament is so much clearer than any other place.
Amen.
Wow. Many, many just one-syllable words. And by the way, weren't you ever taught to read a book with a dictionary beside you? That's pretty good wisdom, you know. You can't remember every one of the million words in the English language. You might need a dictionary, but try it every once in a while. They got three or four definitions, and read and see which one fits the one in the Bible. It's a very good way to study and to read. But let's look at some of these things. If ye then be risen with Christ, who's he talking to? He's talking to saved people. Do you have a problem not knowing the will of God for you? Do you have a problem as a Christian? I don't care if you've been a Christian a long time or just a very short time. You have a problem just finding out what God's will is for you? Well, how about taking this chapter right here? I did this in Ephesians here a few months ago, and I'm going to do somewhat the same thing. I just want to explain it clearly. I want you to see how simple it is, how direct it is. You don't like being told direct things. You don't like obeying anybody else. Now, I went into the Air Force when I was 18. I gave them 1955 to 1959. I'm an old man, okay? And you know, I didn't like them telling me to do things either. But you know what? They come to the place, they trained this old boy. They got, when they said jump, I jumped. When they said pick something up, I picked it up. They said stop, I stopped. Now, some fellas had a little harder time in there. I remember one fellow standing in line. There were 70 of us in our flight. This fellow was standing in line, and he was a goof-up. He could not obey anybody. Are your kids that way? Then you better get on the ball and get them to where they know what you say and do what you say. Well, he's standing there beside me. He'd messed up, cost us some privileges or whatever. And the guys that were training us were World War II and Korean vets in my time. And this old boy was a tough TI. And he come up to this fellow right beside me. We're all standing at attention there. And he said, Airman. Yes, sir. May I lay my hands on you for corrective purposes? Yes, sir. He just beat the snot out of him. He had his permission. He beat that old boy. He knocked him down. He put him down on the ground. Get in line. Do what you're supposed to do. They were tough guys. Maybe you need to learn to follow instructions. Would that be some of our problems? We're just too stupid and stubborn to follow instructions. And sometimes it's going to cause you to get beat up. Now you say, the Bible is so hard, nobody can understand it. Well, now read with me. Just read with me. And let's see if the Bible is that hard to understand. If ye then be risen with Christ. Do you know what that's saying? You know we're talking to Christians here. What is the will of God for you, Christian? What is the will of God? Very simply, the big word, this is a big word, seek. How about that? Seek. Seek what? The things which are above. You should have had your direction changed. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you made a decision to say no to my own will, no to my friends, no to my community, and yes to God. Isn't that right? There ought to be a change in your life. If there's no change in your life, it doesn't look like you have accepted Him as the Savior and Lord of your life. Because He's not only Savior, He's Lord. Amen. He's absolute Lord. Now what he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You got a different goal in life now than what you had ever before. And if you haven't accepted that through all these years, I don't know how long you've been a Christian or not, but if you have not accepted the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life and know that you should have a different direction than everybody else that isn't saved. You know it? It's not all right if you're still living just like you lived. It's not all right if you still have the same ideas and attitude that you had before you got saved. You need to make a change, and you need to make Jesus Christ Lord, and you need to recognize that I need to seek the things that please Him. Not the things that please me, not the things that please the old group. I drive every once in a while by a bar at the end of the day, and there's all these workmen. And they're sitting out there drinking up what they've made. Instead of taking it home to the wife and the kids, they're drinking it up. And I get to thinking about that. They don't think. They don't think what they owe that wife and those kids that are back home. No wonder there are divorces. No wonder there are fights. No wonder that somebody gets a gun and shoots somebody. If you really don't want to get shot, don't go to bars at 2 o'clock in the morning. I have actually had people that were in my church and knew me as a pastor years before had to go out and go to bars and pick up somebody and take them home. Seek those things where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, some of you are going to tell me, well, I just can't control it. Look at that verse 2. It says set. I named this sermon Set and Lit. Great, great passage, you know, great, great name. Set. What does he say to set? Your affections. Some of you don't love the right things. And you're in trouble because you don't love the right things. You're in trouble because you don't take care of the right business. And you're letting your children grow up without the discipline they need. They need a disciplined home. They need a disciplined father in the house. And they need a disciplined mother and somebody that can make good decisions for them. Well, how about, oh, I'm just in love with him. Why don't you let God set your affections? He tells you to do it. Set your affections. That means you can do it. Isn't that plain? Is that a difficult verse? Are there any of the words you don't understand? You know about affection, don't you? Oh, I love, I love, I love. Set your affections. If you can set your affections, then it's your responsibility where they are right now. And one of the problems in the church today, all these people that are worshiping the Lord, is their affections aren't right. They love the world too much. They love the TV too much. They love their drink too much. They love their smoking too much. They love their toys too much. How about setting your affection on things above, not on things on the earth? Well, now I know some of you love your cars. I didn't ask for a raise of hands. Some of you love your clothes. Ooh, some of you love those colors. Oh, such a color. This is so beautiful, and that's just so nice and so sweet. It's worthless. It is absolutely worthless. Why don't you set your affections, make up your mind, you set your affections on what Christ wants. Not on what you want. How long are you going to be here? Well, I didn't think I'd be here as long as I've been. But probably I'm going to meet God before you do. Probably. But I don't know. I was actually watching that one-eyed monster, and there was a guy on Johnny Carson, the old show, 30 years old. He was 95 years old, just as spry as could be. Johnny, there's hope. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For you're dead. Have you recognized you've already died? How did you die? You died when Christ died for you. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, His death was applied to you. You're not righteous. You're not righteous. Some of you are miserable. You really are. Some of you are an absolute shame to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When you're away from the church.
Amen.
And that's a shame.
Amen.
You know what he said? For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Wow. I think it's one of the greatest things. We talk about salvation. If you happen to be here and you're not saved, let me just explain right now. God has a way to save your soul that is beyond your imagination.
Amen.
He had Christ come and die for all mankind. That was in the will of God from before He created the earth. That's what the Bible tells us. And Christ came, took upon Himself human flesh. At about 33 years of age, He's crucified. They hang Him on a tree. They mock Him and make fun of Him. And He dies there, and one of those thieves, He saved and told him he would see him in paradise that day. That thief didn't get baptized. That thief never had to walk through a temple building. That thief never gave any money to the work of the gospel. That thief never went out and won anybody else to the Lord. That thief just got saved just because Jesus said so.
Amen.
All he said was, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. He recognized this guy is who they say he is. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And remember me, Lord. And the Lord said, today. That's mind-boggling. I don't know how many churches today are sitting up and preaching on how many things you've got to do. And some of them think they've got to do it to be saved. It's not true.
Amen.
Salvation is by faith alone, without the works of the law.
Amen.
Salvation should produce works.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible says faith without works is dead. So if you claim to be saved and you don't care anything about the Bible, anything about Jesus Christ and the name, you can cuss all day long. You can even write it on your Twitter. You don't understand. You're putting your affection on the wrong things. You've got the wrong direction in your life right now. And God's going to bring you accountable. You know what it says? Because you know why a lot of people don't like God? They don't want a judgment. That's their problem. As you said, science proves this is a creation. Over and over and over again. And I don't know how intelligent men can be so blind as not to see it. He declares it every day. Show us a miracle. We'll take a look at the sun coming up every day. And the earth just keeps on rolling, keeps on rolling, and keeps on rolling. And everything keeps working. God Almighty has set it up and done it right. Praise God. Think of it. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You know what Jesus did to me 61 years ago? And better. He took all my sins and he laid them on Jesus. And he took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and he gave them to me. And that's what he did for you if you're saved.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If you're saved here today, that's exactly the way it happened. It didn't happen because you got baptized. It didn't happen whether you were sprinkled as a baby or you were dunked or you were poured upon or baptized three times, once in the name of the Father and then in the name of the Son and then the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you were perfect in Sunday school for 10 years and you got stars beside your name. All right, it doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is absolutely, totally, completely dependent upon what Jesus Christ did for you.
Amen.
And you believing it and receiving it and bowing and saying, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner.
Yes, amen.
Maybe your problem is you don't recognize yourself as a sinner. We're sinners until we get saved, and then we're Christians.
Amen.
And then our sins are all paid for. Paid for. I stand without judgment for my salvation eternally. So do you if you're saved. Wow. Now, you know, I was telling you about studying. Well, here's one of those real hard words. Look at verse 5. Mortify. Mortify. You know what that means? It means deaden. Deaden. If you're mortifying, you're dying. If you mortify certain things, what should you deaden in your life? Now, if you're just going to keep on drinking, well, you're just going to keep on drinking. You'll probably end up being an old drunk and dying young. Maybe with your boots on in your car, racing down the road, thinking you're on the right side and you're on the wrong side. Watch out about your drinking and stuff like that. Mortify. What? Here's a big word, fornication. Do you know what that is? That's young people living together when they're not married. Boy, it's quiet in here. That's young people living together when they're not married. That's married people sleeping around.
Amen. Amen.
That's homosexuality.
Amen.
Fornication. That's exactly what it is. He says, mortify fornication. Deaden it. Don't tempt yourself with it. Don't try to reach it. Somebody comes up to you with an opportunity, run!
Amen.
I don't care how embarrassing it might be, how much you might think. No, get away from it because it's going to hurt you.
Amen.
It's going to hurt your husband or wife. It's going to hurt your future family. It's going to hurt your children. Run! Mortify, kill it, deaden it. How about uncleanness? We got some nasty stuff going. Really do. And it's everywhere. It's not just the television. You can't really criticize the television if you got a computer.
Amen.
And more fornication and pornography on that computer than on your tape TV. And it's not that hard to get, and these kids knew better how to get it than I do. You know what he says here? He said, mortify uncleanness and inordinate affection. What are we talking about? We're talking about things that you know to be wrong. When you look at it, you're guilty. When you look at it and you know this is an opportunity to look at something somewhere, go to one of those movies that way, look at it on your computer or look at it on your television. He said, mortify that. Is this hard? Is this not understandable? You think the Bible is written so that we can't understand it? Isn't this clear? How clear can it be? It's not that the Bible's not clear, it's you don't want to hear what it says.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Or me. Okay, we got another one here. Evil concupiscence.
Amen.
I know you use that word every day. But here's one you can use a dictionary on, you know? You know what it is? It's real simple. It's heavy lust. Concupiscence is real strong, heavy lust.
Amen.
Evil concupiscence. Now, there's lust in all of us. If there weren't lust in you, there wouldn't be any marriages. If there weren't lust in you, there wouldn't be any kids. We seem to be keep producing kids, and so all of us have lust, don't we?
Amen.
I mean, I've got 5 kids, but all with the same woman. You know, when... you may not remember these, and I probably shouldn't say it, but Joe Namath was Broadway Joe. He was a great quarterback, really was, one of the greatest football players that's ever been, one of the greatest passers. But he was a playboy. Why, they called him Broadway Joe. And he was going out with a different star and beautiful model or whatever every night and supposedly have sex with all these women. And they were talking about him, one of the reporters, with Roger Staubach. And Staubach says, y'all are always comparing me to Joe Namath. You see, Staubach won the most valuable player, and so they were going to give him a car, a real fine sports car, you know. Wow. Roland, where are you? I mean, you know, Camaro. No, it was actually a Dodge Charger. Really some car. And he said, look, I got 3 kids. I want a station wagon. And they jumped on him. The reporters, oh, how dull that is that you want a station wagon. He said, I got 3 kids. He said, you're always comparing me to Joe Namath. He said, I love sex just as much as Joe Namath does. I just do it with the same woman. That was awful quiet. That's the truth. That's what it's meant to be. All this living around, all this sleeping around, all this thinking that everything that's going on around here is normal, it's not normal. Not according to God. God wants you to be different.
Yes, amen.
So he said, mortify evil concupiscence. Uh-oh. I better not say this next word. You wouldn't understand it, I'm sure. Covetousness. We're all covetous.
Yes.
I am. I do not help myself if I walk in and see something I think is a good price. I buy it. That's why my garage is full. Covetousness. It's the love of things. Some of you got too many tools, you'll never use them all. Some of you have too many guns, you'll never shoot them all. Some of you have too much clothes, you can't wear them out. Some of you have all sorts of things you spend your money on. I'm not going to get to all of you, and I don't have enough time. But you know what I'm talking about. We are a covetous nation, Christian and unchristian. And yet we ought to be burdened about missionaries preaching the gospel around the world. We ought to be burdened about building that we worship in. We ought to be worried about the things of God rather than the things of me. That's covetousness. God describes it as, well, I sure would like his wife. No, she's his wife. Get you another one. I sure would like her husband. You don't know all the trouble they have. You ought to be a pastor for about a month and figure out all the troubles we have living together. Somebody asked me one time if I was going to discipline a certain person for quitting the marriage. I said, no, I've never disciplined anybody that just because they couldn't get along. It's not in the Bible. It's not anybody disciplined in the Bible for that. You don't need to be coveting other people's things. Their car, their dog, their clothes, their husband, their wife. Is this difficult? Am I talking way above your heads? I don't think so. I think it's just as clear as a bell here. Now, he says that's the reason, verse 6, that God's wrath comes. What's the reason? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. But looky, now, you're the one that's risen with Christ. Well, look at verse 8. Put off all these. Put off all these. You want a Christian life? You want a happy Christian life? You want a blessed Christian life? You want a Christian life that's a testimony? Well, how about putting off some things? Putting off some things. Anger, verse 8. You know, my Bible tells me that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I have been angry sometimes at somebody doing something, a Christian doing something that shouldn't be done, bring shame to the name of Christ. And I'm so angry, and I'm so angry, and I'm so angry, and it upsets my mind and bothers me. And then I think about the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Your righteous anger isn't even right. Now, that was weak, I know. Your righteous anger isn't even right. Anger hurts us. We get angry at people over words. You didn't think of me high enough. Therefore, I'm offended. I'm mad. I'm going to do this, that, other. You know the minute you do it, you're wrong. You really are. You're wrong. And you know who you hurt? Well, you can hurt the whole church. You can hurt the name of Jesus Christ. But you really don't hurt so much that person you're angry at. You hurt yourself. You're so angry you can't sleep.
Amen.
You're so angry you can't enjoy your family. You're so angry you can't enjoy your covetousness.
Amen.
You're so angry. Anger. Over what? Now, some of you admit to being angry in your driving. I understand. You're probably angry at me. I was probably the one that was driving next to you that made you mess up. But actually, How ridiculous is that?
Yes.
I had this one time that I got a little over, about 4 feet over, and the light changed, and so I wasn't going to run the light. And I had these old people coming around the light, and they had to drive about 3 feet out of their way to get there. They could go on. And these old men were shaking it, this like this at me, in the window, you know, cussing me out. Their wives are in there, and their kids are in there, and they're out there, yeah, and they cut, and I could see the words. I couldn't hear them. You know what I did? I got 3 feet over, and I stopped and did not run the red light. And I ruined their day. They didn't get over that in a few minutes. They're mad. They are absolutely furious at this idiot who's 4 feet from the line. They had plenty of room to go around me. Are you that crazy?
Amen.
Are you that nuts? I had one time before I learned, and I shouldn't say it. I know I'll be tested on it. I'll go out this afternoon and somebody will make me mad and I'll do some stupid thing again. But I remember when one guy cut me off and just going there, and then I started chasing him. And we pulled off the road, getting out, getting ready to go for a fight because he was an idiot. Well, I guess I was an idiot too, wasn't I? And as I walked up to him, I said, forget it, just go on. He got in his car and I got in my car and we drove off. I haven't chased anybody since that day. I was angry. I was angry that he was just making it dangerous for everybody else, and then I made it dangerous for everybody else. We're stupid sometimes, aren't we? We're not very smart. He says, put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You know, you don't have to talk like the world.
Amen.
You really don't. You know what he said down in verse 11? Neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, slaves, bond, and free. How many places do we place ourselves? English, Mexican, French, Italian, African, Texan, as opposed to New York, East Coast versus West Coast. No, Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You saved, you're my brother.
Amen.
You're saved, you're my sister. You're saved, what do? We love one another in the church.
Amen.
And we put up with one another. Yes. By the way, if you're going to stay married 60 years, you got to have to put up with somebody. My wife was furious at me at some times. But she never run off. She didn't take all the money that I had in the bank and run to live the great life. I didn't have any money in the bank, you understand. She figured if she's going to eat, she had to hang around me. Now, he says put off. But look at verse 10. Put on. Isn't that simple? The Bible's so hard to understand. You understand? The reason why I don't read the Bible is just too hard to understand. This is too hard to understand. Come on. Put off the old man. Put on the new man.
Amen.
Boy, that's difficult. We need a new translation. You need to get the new whatever. Because this one isn't understandable. It's clear. Put off. Put on. Well, some of you put off your night clothes this morning and put on your Sunday clothes.
Yes.
And made it here to church.
Yes.
You know what that is?
Amen.
That's not difficulty. That's not theological language that you think you have to have. No, 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 no. Put off and put on.
Amen.
Well, I'm not going to get to finish everything I put on. But put off and put on, and you ought to read it for yourself. Put on the new man. Put on the new man. renewed after the knowledge of Him, Christ. Okay. Look down to the word let. Let's see. 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How do you do that? Evidently, you got to read it or listen to it. Huh? And you'd have to do it a little more often, maybe as much as you read the newspaper or read your magazines or read your other books. Let. That you give permission to. Now, sometimes the word let can be hinder, but that's not what it is right here. It's give permission to. Give the Word of God permission to run through you freely. Now you pick up some little verses like this. My wife had a habit of, she would take a big sheet of paper and she would write on it, she had a beautiful hand, and she would write on it certain verses and certain things, and she'd put them on the refrigerator and she'd put them in different places with the magnets. And you walk by and you get that little message. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you get it again. I got in the habit of writing 3x5 cards and putting them in my car. On certain things like that. Like it displeased the Lord. What? The complaining of the children of Israel. Complaining displeased the Lord. I decided I don't want to be a complainer. You can understand the Word of God if you want to and if you put it to the test and you'll actually read it.
Amen.
It's not like 100 years ago when an awful lot of people couldn't read or write. Now some of you read better than others, I understand. And some of you read worse than others and have a hard time with it. Now, I understand. That's no problem. We got it on tape.
Yes.
I've got it on the television. There's discs that I can put in there, and they'll show me the Word of God, and they'll read the Word of God to me. Why don't you put some time in?
Yeah.
Why don't you let the Word of God come into you richly? Look down at verse 15. Let the peace of God. God's peace. You know, you'd have a whole lot better life if you just put a little of the Word of God in you. Gave up anger and malice and wrath and decide, no, I'm going to judge myself every time that comes up. I'm going to judge myself and ask for forgiveness. You know what God does? God forgives. God forgives. But you know what you have to do to get forgiven? Ask for it. Recognize you're not living the way you ought to live. You're not doing the things you ought to be doing. And ask God to forgive you for being so stupid. Amen. You know how to use the word stupid? I know it's almost a cuss word in Spanish, I understand, but I'm so used to using it, and I'm so used to feeling it. Do you? Do you ever think about some of the things like this? Simple, simple, simple. A 6-year-old kid can understand some of this, especially a high school teenager. How about old men? How about men and women? Listen, it's not that it's hard to understand. There's so much that is easy to understand. It's your will is against it.
Amen.
And that's even with Christians.
Right.
You don't want to go to the trouble and you don't really want to know what it says. That's a shame.
Yep.
Yes, that's
sir.
A shame.
Amen.
My Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. That's a big if. Do you recognize any of these things as sin? Do you ever confess them? I get tired of going back to the Lord for the same thing. But I keep doing it. I'm ashamed that I do it over and over again. I'm ashamed that I can lose my temper. I'm ashamed that I've got a strong will and I have my own mind and whatever. And I'm ashamed that I can be offended. Now, some of you don't think I can. Well, you're just about right. But I can be. Yes. What a shame. That I would be in such a state, I have to go to the Lord. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you're not saved in here tonight, to this morning, if you're not saved in here, that's your verse. That's your verse. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How big a promise is that? Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about faith. Again, a very simple thing. What is faith? Believing His Word. Yes. It's real simple. You put your finger on this verse in chapter John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Amen.
And say, Lord, You said. Lord, I'm taking You at Your word. You can have peace tonight. You don't have to toss and turn in that bed all night long or end up being mad at your brother, sister, husband or wife, father, mother, child, whatever. Get the anger out. Get the malice out. Get these little stupid little things that you know hurt your life. Get them out. It does not help you to be angry. It does not help you to be mad at somebody.
Amen.
It hurts you.
Amen.
Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. According to the promise of the Word of God, He's near. What I believe in preaching this Word, and I have now for 61 years, that when I preach this Word, the Holy Spirit will touch people's lives. I believe that. If I didn't, I'd have a hard time preaching on some of the cases I've been on. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You can find Him now. You can find Him now. People are finding Him around the world today. You may not, but people are finding Him this day around the world. People are getting saved. They're calling on the Lord. They're getting their sins forgiven. They're changing bosses, changing jobs, changing lives. I'm not going to be under the thumb of the devil anymore. I'm going to trust God and live for Him and take His peace.
Amen.
And His joy. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus is talking to the church, and I believe it's the church of our age, actually. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He says, I stand at the door, your heart's door, your house door, your door. I stand at the door and I'm knocking. I don't know how many times He knocked on my door.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. But He came back.
Amen.
He came back. And He knocked one more time.
Thank you, Lord.
He brought things into my life to make me more serious instead of a clown and an idiot. Just going for just having fun. He brought things into my life and made me think that a 20-year-old can die. And I didn't want to go to hell. There is a heaven. There is a hell.
Amen.
There's no in between.
Amen.
Not in the Bible. It's not there. The Word's not even there. There's no in between. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Do teenagers die today?
Yes.
Do people die in car wrecks today? Do people just get a disease and die all of a sudden and doctors can't do anything about it? Billy was talking about the sovereignty of God. God is out there and you don't know how many days you have to live.
Amen.
You know what He's given you? Life.
Amen.
You have life enough to hear. You have life enough to will. You have life enough to choose. You have life enough to set. Those are things you do. Why don't you choose Christ today?
Amen.
And my Christian friend, why don't you just humble yourself?
Yes.
And ask God for forgiveness.
Amen.
Get a clean start, clean slate, and start all over again. Let's stand up and sing number 249. We'll sing it through, all six verses. And it's your invitation to come down and pray.